ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And we don't have a fourth tonight. Everybody had other better things to do, I guess. We still love them, just a little less.
Little less. I'm going to say a lot less.
That's fair.
They're not listening. We can say whatever. the only person that misses that's going to listen to it's me.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can say whatever we want.
I mean, I'd listen to, like, if we're not able to do Nerd Up next week, which we may not be able to. For those of you out there, we're going to Indiana Comic Con next week. It's going to be awesome. We're going to meet Kevin Conroy. Really excited about that. Really, really, really excited about that.
Nerds.
Anyway, shut up. So we may not have Nerd Up next week. We'll let you guys know on Facebook for sure. Or there might be a different host. I don't know.
We'll see. Wait, Shannon and Lindsay are just going to do it?
They might.
Just them two?
Possibly.
All right.
We'll see.
Listen, I don't know the future. So we'll see. We'll let you guys know when we come to it. But for now, if there's no episode next week, that's why. We're either tired or not back yet from Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. If we do a show next week,
we'll be tired.
We'll be tired, and we'll be talking entirely about meeting Kevin Conroy. So it'll mostly be us just fangirl squeeing into the microphone for an hour.
We'll do a normal nerd up. Just the next Nerds for Hire that we do. That's when we'll be.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's when we're going to be doing the fangirl squealing.
That's absolutely happening. All right. So for the show today, though, we've got a little bit of news from Men in Black. Something I hadn't heard about in a while. Sony is rebooting it with Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson.
Didn't they just do a reboot like 4 years ago?
With Men in Black?
Yeah.
No.
They did the third Men in Black one where they went back in time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My bad.
And then you found out why Kay liked Jay so much. Why is that? Did you never watch it?
No.
Oh, apparently Kay got Will Smith's character's father killed or something like that. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Yeah, I saw it once. I remember liking it a lot more than I thought I was going to, because it's that thing where, why are you making a third one like so long after the first two?
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's time travel. Josh Brolin's gonna play Tommy Lee Jones's character. This just seems weird.
Yep.
But I remember actually being very pleasantly surprised with it.
I mean, it wasn't a bad movie, but yeah, I don't remember. Like, it didn't.
Nothing about it super stands out other than Josh Brolin as Tommy Lee Jones was amazing.
Yeah, shockingly good.
So I need to see it if I can find it.
Sure. Like, it's worth watching.
Yeah, I'm sure it's streaming on something.
Yeah, it's got to be at this point. Like I said, it's worth watching. But either way, they're rebooting it completely. Again, with Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson, and those names might sound familiar, they were co-stars of Thor Ragnarok. Obviously, that's Thor, and Valkyrie is Tessa Thompson. So it'll be fun to see them in another movie again, because Thor Ragnarok was just...
Now we need Mark Ruffalo to play the villain.
Yes, please.
It was a talent exchange for Spider-Man. They're like, all right, we get to use some of your cast in our movies. You don't get Thor and Spider-Man. We're thinking Men in Black. Be like, oh, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I need to look, because, like, is this a full-on reboot, or is it... Because I thought I had seen something where it's not necessarily a full reboot, it's just we're following different people within the organization, like a different wing of the organization.
A distinct possibility. The article I saw was reboot, so we're unlikely to see Tommy Lee Jones or Will Smith there.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that was never going to happen anyway. It's just, like, it's not. They're not necessarily...
It would be really nice to see at least a cameo of them.
That guy, Rip Torn died, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved him as Zed.
He was great. but yeah, there's the really surprising thing about this, though, it's supposed to release June 14th, 2019. And that we just got casting for it.
Yeah, that seems so fast.
Yeah, and it's coming out in a little over a year.
I mean, Venom's coming out in a couple months.
It sure is.
The film is reported to start filming this June.
So they're going to start filming. They're going to film, produce,
edit,
and then release in a year.
It's Sony. It's going to be bad.
I mean, not everything from Sony is bad, but their reboots lately have had mixed results.
And according to Den of Geek, Sony seems to have settled on a spin-off approach as it looks to build on its Men in Black series for the movies, following the template set by Jurassic World.
That's fun.
Oh, where it's just Men in Black.
So this is more Men in Black 4, but they're not going to call it 4 because they don't want people to expect Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
Well, the Ghostbusters reboot was Sony, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they say the same thing? I think
that I don't remember because
it was this that was a different universe because
the important thing my main question is did Sony do the Ghostbusters reboot because I think that's accurate.
Maybe I couldn't tell you. I'll keep talking.
Hunter's definitely just like no you idiots.
Or yeah, why are you guys still talking about this?
Just really like talking about the new Ghostbusters movie that Cody didn't see and Hunter loved a lot.
Oh God, now Hunter's going to hurt you. He's going to find you somewhere.
I'm
Why
easy to
just
find.
Tell me what studio made it.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was Sony.
Okay.
There we go.
So, yeah, Sony did Ghostbusters, and they talked about how that's not a reboot, and it's, that kind of flip-flop all over the place. So, basically the point I'm getting at is
we don't know.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell because they make, allusions and stuff, too. It's like Jumanji. Jumanji was technically a reboot, but it wasn't a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another Sony movie. But the Jumanji movie ended up being surprisingly good.
That's what I heard. I hadn't seen it.
Okay, good is a strong word. Surprisingly watchable.
It was a fun movie.
It was a fun movie. It was a very fun movie. Especially if you like, The Rock in movies and, what's his name?
Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart, just being Kevin Hart. Because everybody else did a great job at pretending they were who, the character was.
Mm-hmm.
But, Kevin Hart was just being Kevin Hart because he's Kevin Hart. And I guess that's what everybody pays to see.
As he's wont to do.
Yeah. But I still really, really enjoyed it. So, either way, we'll see where we go with this. I love the Men in Black movies. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Have to wait and see. Rise of the TMNT. Or Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We finally got a teaser, so we got to see these awful, awful, awful character designs in motion. And now I can say it's just awful instead of, quad awful.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
I thought it was awful.
I'm not a huge fan of I'm not a huge fan. I still my feelings stay very firm on the character design, and I will need to see more of the actual animation to get used to it. That said, the dialogue and the voice acting work and kind of what we saw in this little teaser, it seems like they got the turtles right. And it also kind of seemed like, even though they're switching Raph and Leo seemingly,
mm-hmm.
Raph is still the kind of hard ass no nonsense Raph, but now he's in the leadership role, which is a bummer because Leo now feels just like,
He's like in the trailer.
He's like a toned down version of Mikey now.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Which is a bummer, and I'm not a huge fan of that. But Donatello, I can fix it. I can fix it. I can fix it. I cannot fix this. That got me. That legitimately,
Yeah, there were parts of it that it's like, I might still watch the first episode, but it didn't inspire any extra confidence in me. Other than the dialogue was solid, but seeing Raph as three times the size of the rest of the turtles, I know he was supposed to be bigger. But good Lord.
Well, and they're doing the different species thing.
Yeah.
And that turtle size is...
I mean, I get that. And I get that he should be a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like...
It's off-putting. Especially when you're so used to every other version. They've all been the same size with, very minor differences.
Right. Even in the movie mm-hmm. where they made Raph bigger than everybody else. It was Raph was big... Leo is a bit smaller, and then, you kind of went down the line.
Yeah, and Mikey and Donnie were about the same. We're roughly the same size as the smallest of the three.
Right, but Raph wasn't, much more
hulking
than,
over...
Yeah, he was maybe a head taller than Mikey and Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Versus this one, where it looks like Andre the Giant standing next to a normal-sized individual.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
And again, I just, it made me feel a little bit better about it. And don't get me, again, I hate it. I hate the way it looks. That's so dumb. But also, Donatello running with the Reinhardt hammer, the rocket power, I was okay, I can get on board with something like that. So I'm going to give it a shot if I can. I know it's going to be on Nickelodeon, so I don't know what kind of streaming thing it's going to end up.
Nickelodeon, actually, if you have a cable subscription thing.
I do not.
If you can get one. From someone that has a DirecTV Live mm-hmm. or DirecTV Now subscription kind of a deal, then you can actually watch it on their website after it airs.
Because
that's how I used to watch Legend of Korra back in the day.
Okay.
Where's that? I need to give you my DirecTV Now login.
Well, I think I can probably get my parents too because they have theirs. But yep, I mean, okay. there's way I will be able to see it. But
yeah, I'm gonna give it a couple episodes just because it is the Turtles and I loved the last series so much. And it's one of those, like, I'm with Ace, I'm not a fan, and I'm with you as well. I do not like the way they look, but I will say watching that teaser, it did inspire confidence. I'm like, okay, that doesn't look like the most god-awful thing I've ever seen.
It still feels like that, minus Leo just being knockoff Mikey, it does feel like it's a little bit, it feels like it's more faithful to, like, the heart of the Turtles and what the Ninja Turtles have been.
Which is cool, like... I'll wait for you guys to watch it, and then I can check it out, because I know when I was a kid, TMNT was my favorite thing of all time, followed closely by Power Rangers,
yep.
Because, you know, that's the age group I was in.
And then they did the Power Rangers Ninja Turtles crossover event, which would have been amazing if it wasn't that version of the Turtles.
When did they do that?
Oh, with the animatronic but not Jim Henson Turtles, the TV show ones?
The one, it was the Venus de Milo. I can't remember. I always forget the name of it, but it's the live action TV series that they did that was awful.
The one in like the early 2000s or late 2000s?
Early 2000s. I was like 7, 8 whenever it came out.
I'm trying to remember when that TMNT movie came out.
That was later.
That was like 2006, 2007.
Yeah. The one with Patrick Stewart as the bad guy and they were opening the portals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dug that too. And then I think it was Power Rangers in Space or Lost Galaxy? I don't remember.
After I stopped watching Power Rangers. All right,
well, I'm going to quickly get this answer while you guys are still talking about it.
But, I mean, either way, I will definitely want to check it out. I'm not expecting to like it near as much as I like this Nickelodeon run that just finished because, oh boy, big shoes. And, yeah, it does not undo the character designs and the animation style and... You know, like you said, like it is jarring to see Raph that much bigger, but it could lead to like fight scenes being a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a few out. Like I said, I'm going to give it more than one episode just because at this point, most TV shows need more than one episode to really kind of find their footing.
And I think it's supposed to be, is it not the like artist animation team behind Samurai Jack?
Oh, that I don't know.
Because that's what it looked like. And I thought I remember reading that at some point. So I was wanting to, because if that's the case, then yeah, the combat stuff is going to look great.
I can see that. Like, I can kind of see the influences there.
Yeah, at the very least that. What's up, Dalton?
It was Power Rangers in Space. Mm-hmm. So, like, the black dome on the head. And
yeah, they had the squares across the chest.
And then I was going to say this, but I didn't want to be wrong, but it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation.
Next Mutation, yeah.
That's, yeah, I was...
And that's the one that introduced... Venus de Milo.
Yeah, and like Leo had like the full head wrap instead of just the bandana. Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at pictures right now. Man, those Power Rangers outfits don't hold up.
Because I know, like, I get confused with what people. That was just me clearing my throat. It wasn't me trying to.
Oh no, no, I like.
Oh, I was about to because like, but that's the one. That's the what you wanted to see in the movie. Yep. Nope, we're shutting. You're done. Jesse was making a point.
I was. It was about turtles and stuff and like what people like. The 80s Turtles, like that was like my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's what I watched a whole lot of.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people really, really liked the 2003 series.
Yep.
Apparently, like I know I liked the art style from that a whole lot, but
the
I never
darker,
really.
The darker, grittier, kind of more grown up version of the Turtles.
But I never really watched it. I never gave it any kind of a chance. Same thing with like the 2014 Turtles. I know a lot of people liked that one. It was really, really well done.
So good.
I didn't really like the art style on that much. But again, like, I don't know why I never gave that one much of a chance. And I think during that 2002 run, I just wasn't actively looking forward to anything Turtles related. I don't remember. I don't know. I was probably just being some edgy teenager and didn't think the Turtles were cool.
Well,
anymore.
Yeah, there's always a point where even if it's stuff that you can look back now and like, no, I've always liked Batman. There's always that kind of growing period where you're like, oh, I'm too cool for this. Like, or I'm too old for this. That, you know, that's kid stuff. I'm grown up.
That's almost certainly what happened.
But that period for me lasted like a month. Cause then I just realized I was like, okay, I'll start watching, you know, sports and whatever stuff adults are supposed to do. And I'm like, I hate this. There are no explosions or ninja fights or nothing. Why do people watch these things?
See, I just started watching anime because apparently in my mind, That was perfectly cool.
That was cooler.
Versus, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, yeah, I kind of regret, you know, not watching Turtles in that period of time because apparently it was like a good age for being Turtles fans.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. At some point, I might go back and rewatch it because apparently it still holds up. I found out while doing research for this Rise of the TMNT series.
I was going to say, I can't vouch for that because it's been a long time since I've seen any of it, but I remember really, really liking it. Also, the toys that came out of it were super cool.
Yeah. I believe that. I definitely believe that. All right. And the last thing in movies and TV, we got a Deadpool 2 trailer. Another one.
Oh,
and man,
X-Force. They so said
good.
It.
Yeah,
it's
they confirmed
real.
It's absolutely X-Force. And we actually have a pretty good idea who Terry Crews is. Mm-hmm. He's almost certainly Bedlam.
Yep.
It could be Warpath.
It's Bedlam.
It's not Warpath.
We were watching a video earlier today, and that's what they assumed it was. No. We were like,
yeah,
but
one of like Dalton's channels that he watches on YouTube said that he might be Warpath. It's like, what about him looks like Warpath?
Also, it was Watch Mojo. That's one of the more legitimate channels I watch all the time.
Someone did like freeze frame stuff and noticed like someone was going through all of the files of the X-Force, and Bedlam was shown. And there was something else that kind of basically confirmed that that's who Terry Crews is playing.
Cool. Yeah, because like if you look at his costume, he even has like the X on his chest like Bedlam does. It's not as pronounced.
Right.
But this makes me extra happy because Bedlam's real name is Jesse. I think his last name is Anderson. But either way, Terry Crews is playing someone named Jesse. And that makes me happy. He has power over like electromagnetic fields.
I really hope Deadpool craps on that name.
Bedlam?
No, Jesse.
yeah, it's a possibility. It would hurt and make me laugh at the same time. But yeah, he can actually like influence like bioelectrical impulses, including like you know your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Bedlam can anyway, so it'll be an interesting character. And I love Terry Crews, so
were you
happy to see him do more stuff?
Were either of you at all surprised that it looks like Cable is going to be the main antagonist throughout the film, as opposed to just like
at the beginning
initial fight scene, and then they realize that they have to team up to start to fight the actual threat?
I am surprised, but I am so happy.
I mean, we'll see, because he might not be throughout the entire film.
I mean, yeah, it could, but the way that they're presenting it makes it look like that this is going to be Deadpool versus Cable.
Yeah, and then basically what I imagine is going to happen, if they want to do it that way, and I wouldn't blame them at all, they use this movie to set up an X-Force movie with Cable, and it wouldn't be called Deadpool, it would just be called
the
X-Force.
Yeah.
Or like Deadpool and the X-Force, whatever, if they want to do it that way. And it would be Cable uniting with the X-Force to actually
take down a big bad.
Yep. Because the original X-Force was assembled to find Cable because Cable was trying to take hope to the future. And they were trying to keep the X-Force was created out of like the best mutant trackers they had to find Cable and Hope and save Hope from Cable. So that's, I guess, kind of the storyline they're running with in broad strokes. And then, yeah, eventually you kind of figure out what's going on and Hope ends up going to the future with Cable. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
It looks super good. The first one was so good. And this just looks like it's amazing what happens when you get creative people who really care about a character.
Depender's back.
Yeah, that makes me really happy. The cab driver from the first one.
Start the car.
Even though he should very much be in jail.
Yeah.
Like that, somehow Deadpool killed somebody to get him out.
It's a distinct possibility. Or the X-Men pulled some strings. Either way, yeah, it is surprising. See, I know I'm super excited about it. The trailer was just so great. There was comedy, there was action. Deadpool beheaded someone, and it looked like he was wearing high heels. I don't know if anybody else saw that.
Yeah, he was in the strip club. He was definitely wearing high heels.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, he beheads someone in heels. so that's super fun. I'm really, really looking forward to this movie. Marina Bakarin is back, and I like Marina Bakarin.
Who doesn't?
Silly people.
Yeah.
I guess. but anyway, I'm really excited about this movie. I thought hype was already like at maximum. Same thing, like the Avengers did the same thing to me last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can we talk about that?
We already did.
Can we do it again?
Not enough Hawkeye.
Hopefully we'll get more Hawkeye and then we can talk about it more. I'm sure we're going to get another trailer before the 27th.
Marvel. Can you give us one more?
Give us that Hawkeye trailer.
Just all Hawkeye, all the way through it. Marvel's like, we hear you. Kevin Feige's like, put it together.
Dude, like, just, but he's in three scenes in the entire
y'all want to get your Avengers number one grossing Marvel movie title back from Black Panther? Hawkeye trailer. Guaranteed.
All right. Deadpool 2. It's happening. Really excited. Watch that trailer if you haven't already. Holy crap, it's awesome. I don't know how you've missed it if you have, but either way.
Although, don't do it at work, because that is a red band trailer.
Yup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely...
Which I very much appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Because
that's the best part of it. Like, Deadpool having to consciously skirt around an R rating to make a trailer that is all ages appropriate is fun. That's a good idea. But when you can just show like what the real movie's going to be like, I appreciate that.
Me too. And yeah, not safe for work. Very not safe for work. Good stuff. All right. So comic books. This portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds. You can see them for all your comic book needs and coffee and other various beverages that are all delicious. And we're going to talk a whole lot about comics. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff. Jot it down if you need it picked up and you live locally, or even if you don't, you can hit them up on Facebook and let them know. We're going to start with, if you're a fan of Dazzler, you've probably never heard of Dazzler if you're not a fan of Dazzler.
Go ahead.
No, she's getting a one-shot.
Oh, she's getting a one-shot, huh?
Yeah.
You think that's going to go into an ongoing?
Maybe.
Oh, that's good. You give a solo X-Men their own book. That's a good idea. Oh, wait. No, they canceled Iceman. F Marvel.
I mean, have we gotten the last issue of Iceman yet?
I don't know.
I thought it released in May.
DC Master Race.
Maybe it's April.
I hate Marvel.
Why do you say that now?
Wait for the rest of the show. Yeah, no, the Dazzler, so far she's not getting an ongoing. It's just going to be a one-shot. It's going to be Magdalene Visaggio and Laura Braga, the first writer, second artist.
She shoots out shiny stuff. Like, in all reality, okay, so, and this is me taking the Iceman bit out, which I'm still salty about, but I'm taking it out for this part. It's an uninteresting character to me.
She's a cool character. She can turn sound into light. And, you know, the more intense the sound, the more intense the light. She is a wonderful hard counter for the best Inhuman in their roster, Black Bolt. And it has been in comic books before, and it is funny to watch him not realize that he's screaming at Dazzler. Because, boy, the laser that makes.
And that just sounds, like, to me, that just sounds like a one-trick pony. Like, unless the main antagonist of this one-shot is Black Bolt, eh.
Maybe it's a Karthik that's just bumping their music too loud.
I mean, she's also like, you know, trained combat and all that other stuff.
Oh no, but I'm sure there are many more elements to the character, and there are going to be a lot of people excited about this. I am just nowhere near one of them.
But her big thing is she came out back in the '80s, and she was a disco star.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes she wears roller skates. I have the action figure.
She does sometimes.
Of course you do.
It was in the X-Men wave. I had to buy it. That's how I got Juggernaut.
And this new one, she's part of an underground punk rock band.
They canceled Iceman.
Yeah. But it has nothing to do with Dazzler. I don't know. I actually have no idea what the purpose of this book is. We'll have to find out. If you're a fan of Dazzler, though, you're probably pretty excited about this.
Why are you listening to us whenever you should be shaming your life choices?
Oh.
Dazzler is a dumb X-Man.
She is not.
You sure?
She's had cool moments before.
Yeah, so have I. I'm still me.
Listen, any character, like, there are dumber X-Men.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying she's not skinned.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's top tier, but she's fun to read.
And really, you don't get to criticize her if you have her action figure.
I have a lot of action figures. I'm just like, oh, why do I have this? And I was like, oh,
yeah,
the Build-A-Figure.
That nullifies a lot of arguments that you might make.
That's a little true. A little bit. I still love you.
What about you? I'll take it.
You have days.
He does have his days. All right. So, yeah, we're getting new Dazzler. It'll be cool. We don't know the exact date on it yet. I think it said July. I don't know why I didn't write that down if it had a month.
Because even you couldn't bring yourself to care.
That's not true. I'll probably pick it up just because it's X-Men adjacent. And I pick X-Men up X-Men number ones.
X-Men adjacent.
That is the worst street to live on.
Yeah. All right, and so in DC news, so gonna go ahead and start this with.
All right, that wraps it up for DC news. Moving on.
Yeah, we got it. So video games. This is brought to you by
WonderCon happened, and DC had a panel. They released a bunch of news about stuff they're doing, And it, a lot of the news, it looks kind of like they found like an old ratty playbook and they picked it up and they had to dust it off a little bit. And it's just like Marvel book O plays.
No, see, I instead believe that this is Brian Michael Bendis. He has shown up and then his inhuman, like the pheromone he puts off.
Now, what do you think page one of the playbook was?
Higher Bendis.
So yeah, because we got Bendis in DC now, and you know, we talked last week.
It wasn't a playbook. They found Bendis's resume for Marvel.
Well, either way, we talked about last week that Justice League, it's getting a 4-issue miniseries, and then it's going to break into a new Justice League.
Yeah.
And you know, we talked about like how Jon Stewart is going to be the new Lantern.
Martian Manhunter is going to be
Martian
in.
Martian Manhunter is going to be in it. Cyborg's out,
mm-hmm.
And that's all the information we had. Yep. And you know, we thought it was funny that they were doing, you know, two new Justice League number ones. The first set being done by Scott Snyder, and the second, you know, Bendis is doing the rest of the Justice League. And at least it was Bendis, right, doing the main Justice League book.
I don't think it was Bendis.
I think it was Snyder.
Is it Snyder doing?
I thought Snyder was doing both.
Yeah, it is definitely Snyder. You're right. So yeah, Snyder was doing the main Justice League book. We also got out of this panel that DC is planning on doing two additional Justice League books. So basically, they're going full Avengers because we've got starting off with something that I know Trevor, if you're listening right now,
cover your ears.
No. You're just cover your ears after the first two parts of this announcement. Actually, Trevor would probably still dig this. Justice League Dark. That's one of the Justice League books we're getting. And if you guys have been listening to the show for a while, particularly the comic book show, you've heard me and Asa, at the very least, talk about how we really, really, really wanted Justice League Dark back. Because it's an awesome team of DC superheroes that are dealing with supernatural threats. It's really cool stuff. So we're getting Justice League Dark. And I was super excited about it, especially the creative team. James Tynion IV is writing.
You like him, Asa?
And if you haven't listened to the comic book shows or Nerd Up, like, I love Tynion IV because he's given me one of my favorite things in comic books, maybe ever, in this rebirth run of Detective Comics. He's the main writer on that, and it is phenomenal.
And Tynion IV has a pretty fantastic resume.
He has a great resume. Aside from that, it's just like that's the most recent thing and the thing that I've enjoyed the most.
Right.
That he's done.
So yeah, we've got two things right there. Justice League Dark by James Tynion IV is just like holy crap.
Read the headline. Read that part of the article, and I was just like, I'm not a lot. Like this is a dream.
This is a fever dream.
There's no way that this isn't going to be, like, there's no way this could be happening because it makes me too happy.
Because the only thing that I would have liked over Tynion writing it would be a Snyder Capullo team, only because I want to see Capullo drawing a lot of that supernatural stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the only, like, team I would have put above this one. So then we get the roster. We start with Zatanna. Sweet. Love Zatanna.
Of course. Cornerstone of a Justice League Dark. Need to have Zatanna.
Gotta have Zatanna. She's wearing pants. I don't know if you saw the artwork for it, but she has actual pants on.
That's fine.
That's great. I'm excited that a character.
Okay. I was like, I thought you were like, it was one of those things where people are bummed because you're not just going to get to see your legs all the time.
People are bummed about that.
Get a life.
But I am happy that she has pants.
But Asa, nah, I don't have anything.
Because normally Zatanna's featured.
Yeah, go to my room and find the Zatanna action figure. Spoiler alert. I ain't got one.
I don't think I have one either.
Surely somewhere.
No, it's
either
DC.
Way. That's fair.
Yeah, so, no, I don't collect a
DC
lot of
DC Master Race. Oh, I only have Marvel action figures though.
I have WWE action figures. You son of a. Never mind.
So, anyways, Zatanna. She has pants. Normally, she just has either bare legged or, at best, fishnets.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of exciting to see her with pants on. Swamp Thing, which sweet.
Awesome.
Swamp
Again, Thing. Just like that is a fantastic addition.
Yep.
The green. Is a super fascinating thing that I wish we could kind of explore a little bit more of. Like and I say that, but I'm kind of a hypocrite because I don't read the Swamp Thing solo books.
I mean, I think even the Swamp Thing solo books, the green is just one of those things that you accept as a part of Swamp Thing.
The new 52 Swamp Thing was incredible.
Didn't Snyder start that one?
I don't remember who.
I don't think it was
Snyder. I don't think it was Snyder, but the Swamp Thing and Animal Man were two just ridiculously amazing books.
I think Animal Man Tom King?
No, I think Animal Man was also Scott Snyder. I think he started with three books.
He did not start three books.
No.
Surely. Especially back then. I don't know. You can find out in a second. In the meantime, then you get to Man-Bat is the next one.
Animal Man was Jeff Lemire.
Oh, that makes sense.
Swamp Thing, Raising Them Bones, Scott Snyder.
That's not the New 52.
That is correct.
Well, give me one more second.
Sure. So anyway, yeah, we got Man-Bat. And no, I'm not like saying Batman weird. I literally mean Man-Bat, the mutated human that looks like a bat. And that's part of the Justice League Dark. And then Detective Chimp, a sentient chimpanzee that, okay, they are sentient anyway. A hyper-intelligent chimpanzee that solves supernatural crimes. And Wonder Woman is the leader of this team.
Snyder did do Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For New 52. Yeah.
And I believe he also did Animal Man. I'm checking that one right now.
He did not. I just said it was Jeff Lemire.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah. He.
Yes. That was the first thing I said, was it was Jeff Lemire.
Oh. And you said, okay. What happened, buddy?
I was looking at mine. Sorry.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So just pretending to pay attention. Okay.
Yeah, we see how it is. Anyway, so yeah, Zatanna, Swamp Thing, Man-Bat, Detective Chimp, and Wonder Woman.
Man-Bat, I don't, like...
Man-Bat doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Only because in the history of Man-Bat, he has never been sent, he has never had control of himself. It has right. always been kind of like
it's
in
more
early
of a bestial...
days of Hulk, where there is, I can't remember the name of the person, which I think that's changed a lot, too, for Man-Bat. The person who became Man-Bat.
Oh, yeah. Well, because sometimes it's multiple people, sometimes yeah. it's one person.
But whenever it is Man-Bat, I don't know if we've ever really gotten a legitimate like arc or run or anything of it was someone like with the self-awareness. Like they know they're aware of what they're doing. That said, and also Detective Chimp, I'm bitter at just because it has to do with Dark Knight's Metal. I'm not going to get into it, though, because that's like super recent and kind of spoilery. It has the potential to be. But that just seems kind of lame. I don't know that much about Detective Chimp minus what was in this Metal stuff, and I right. wasn't a huge fan. That said, Tinian has proven to me that he is a master of team books. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to check it out.
And I'm going to hope it's real good. I'm hoping it's going to be better than the sum of its parts.
They also have said that, because the most baffling part is, how do you have Justice League Dark without Constantine?
Which, like, I mean, apparently a lot of people were very upset that Constantine was in Justice League Dark, because Constantine is very much not a team player. But then those people also didn't read Justice League Dark, because in Justice League Dark, Constantine was very much not a team player.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the foundation of that, of it was just like, okay, we have to worry about this world-ending nightmare that is descending upon Earth. Also, we have to keep an eye out on this shady piece of crap, because he's going to try to screw everybody over.
And it was a super fun dynamic, and
it
I loved
great.
It.
Great.
So, yeah, they did say that Dr. Fate and Constantine will be making appearances in the run, but they may or may not become regular members of the roster.
And I think they should. I mean, I get why they wouldn't, because especially Dr. Fate is like OPAF.
Yeah.
And Constantine, again, that I've always enjoyed any time him and Zatanna have interacted.
Yes.
Has always been great. And him, even him, like him and Swamp Thing, that was the first arc of the Constantine solo book
yeah.
for Rebirth. Was him and Swamp Thing. And I really wish that's how the book would have stayed. Like, if it was just that, like, a team-up book.
Yeah.
Would have been amazing. I don't know how Trevor... Like, I need to talk to Trevor about how much he liked it.
No, Trevor's been, like, that's the one book that he looks forward to getting every month.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, Constantine's stories, where that one, where he is actually teaming up with Alec, yeah. And, you know... Also, it's kind of a bummer that they're redesigning Swamp Thing to actually look like...
Alan Moore.
Yeah. As seemingly no reason other than because we can screw you.
yeah.
Because as much as, you know, say what you will about Alan Moore, the man, DC has kind of done him dirty.
Little bit.
So this just kind of seems like an unnecessary
dig,
extra little dig that yeah. I'm sure I'll get over it. But
like I said, I'm still going to check it out because is Justice League Dark, is that creative team, like, the roster is weird, but at least I've got Zatanna,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I need, because I love me some Zatanna.
And also, I kind of hope they do what they did with New 52, where Wonder Woman is there initially, and is the one who puts the team together, and then she just kind of goes away. I'm really glad this is the one moment I'm glad Mandy's not here to hear me say that. Like, yeah. Because that's what they did with Batman.
Yeah.
Batman assembled the team, he was with them on their first mission, and then he kind of effed off.
Right, he assembled the team because there was a supernatural thing that he was like, I can't explain or deal with this.
None of us can deal with it, so you're up.
You magic folk.
That said, Wonder Woman, I think, is a better fit in a Justice League Dark team than Batman. So if she sticks around, I'm not going to be upset at all.
Because, you know, Wonder Woman is certainly more accepting of supernatural existing.
Right.
Because, you know, Batman is very much like, she was science made, can explain this.
Right. She was made by a god.
Yeah.
So.
You know, in the world that Batman lives in, it's really hard to be a science can explain everything kind of guy. Because it can't. So, yeah, we've got Justice League Odyssey is the second book. And that one's going to be Joshua Williams and Steven Sedgwick. The artist for Aquaman, if because that first name, we're pretty sure that's how you pronounce that. It's got extra consonants in it.
It's got a P and a J back to back.
And that's a no.
There it is. Thank you.
Welcome. Hunter really, really enjoyed that, I'm certain. Anyway, yeah, that the roster for that one actually does look pretty cool. Sort of. You get Cyborg, Starfire, Jessica Cruz, and Azrael. Jessica Cruz being one of the that's the newest human Green Lantern.
Yes.
And, yeah, obviously everybody should know Cyborg and Starfire.
She came out of Forever Evil, didn't she?
Jessica Cruz?
Yeah.
No, wasn't she made for Rebirth?
Honestly, she existed before Rebirth. I thought she came out of...
Not much before Rebirth.
Because like, I don't remember her in Forever Evil,
I thought she was one of the victims of the evil Green Lantern, the Green Lantern equivalent. And then, like, as whatever was happening to her, that's when she got her ring.
I mean, if that happened, that was fallout from Forever Evil, but I don't think that was in the book.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
I don't remember either. I dig Jessica Cruz a lot. Starfire and Cyborg are misses for me. I don't have any kind of... Because I've never been super big on Teen Titans. I enjoyed the cartoon from what little. I didn't actually, like, watch all of it. But from what I saw, I enjoyed.
Mm.
She was never really a big part of Young Justice, because that's my favorite version of the Titans team. And then, yeah, I'm very confused about Azrael, because he still is a very much a part of Detective Comics. And it would make sense, like, okay, and which I guess I'm assuming Jessica Cruz is still going to be part of the Green Lanterns book.
Apparently, the Green Lanterns is ending.
Okay, that would make sense.
I think that and Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, both of those books are ending, I think.
Are they not going to have... Those are the only two Lantern books going.
I thought they had one more.
Mm-mm.
Oh. Both of them could be ending, and they could just be doing another one.
Yeah, they may just be replacing it with something else.
Yeah, it might just be like... They might just go back to a Green Lantern book.
Yeah. I don't think that it's... Because it's Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns and the Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
Are the only two... Because those are the only two at the launch of Rebirth for sure. The only reason I didn't keep up with Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns is because it was a direct sequel of Lost in Space, and I never got. I have all of those issues. I just never got around to reading them.
Fair enough. So yeah, I think I know at the very least that Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns is ending.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they might end the other one and just do a Green Lantern book. Which at this point,
if they teamed up Hal and Simon. Let Jon Stewart go in
Justice League.
Jessica Cruz go in
Justice League.
Justice League Odyssey. Then we get Kyle Rayner's book.
Oh, also, I got your answer for Jessica Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Her first appearance was a cameo appearance in Green Lantern 20, which was that gigantic $8 book that ended the .
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was Geoff Johns. It was New 52, and then her first full appearance would have been Justice League 31, and if I'm right, that would have been two or three issues right after. Forever Evil.
Okay.
If I'm remembering it properly.
Either way.
I don't remember. I thought she was tied into there, but that's...
And here is the most interesting pick for a Justice League team. This team will be led by Darkseid.
Oh, that makes sense.
No, you said it's a Justice League team, though.
I sure did.
Why? Why?
Darkseid will apparently act as, quote, the team's Hannibal Lecter.
So he's going to be imprisoned and just giving them advice on how to fight all these, cosmic threats?
This is supposedly, apparently Scott Snyder wanted to call this Justice League WTF. And, it's them traveling around in space.
Okay, at a certain point, the man needs to be stopped. Scott, listen up. This is just you and me. I love you. I will forever love you for what you did with Batman in New 52. And Metal has been some of the most fun I've had reading comic books lately. But just maybe slow down.
Like, I don't think this was his decision, because this is a Justice League book that he's not part of. Obviously, he's not writing any part of it. He, like I said, in the panel, that's what he wanted to call it.
Okay.
Was Justice League WTF, because...
My brain went to, he was the one doing it, and he pitched. That's how he pitched the idea.
Oh, no.
It's like, I'm going to write a Justice League book. We're going to call it WTF.
He also talked about... Oh, God.
Why he talks like that?
Yeah, I don't either. He also talked about calling it, like, Justice League Space Adventures in Space, because apparently this is all going to be in space, off-world.
I mean, that is kind of what the DC universe does need, some sort of like police force in space, like in the greater outer space area.
And you like, know, their uniforms could be green.
That's kind of gaudy. I don't think anyone would go for that.
No, like a vibrant green.
And then black. Oh,
okay.
Like green glows.
Black. The black is the contradictory, because yeah. then it's almost camouflage, like in space.
Yeah, yeah, and then you can accent it with white.
Oh, this is stupid. I don't but, like it, I'm not trying to do a bit, but it's like Bendis shows up for the first day of work and everybody just goes nuts.
Hey, Michael, do you like this?
It's kind of like the pheromone that Dalton puts out that like you just really want to mess with him.
It's the F with me pheromone. No, he just has the, hey, lose your damn minds.
Let's make things shitty pheromone. That's his pheromone.
I hope they're good. Like, again, I'm never going to root against something being good. Like, I can understand that this doesn't appeal to me. It's not for me. I don't need to consume it. So I'm not going to try to be like overly critical of it. But
it does make any
Dark Side in any capacity teaming up with...
Apparently, what they're supposed to be doing...
like, anti-monitor.
They're dealing with a new villain that has something to do with, like, the deep, deep past of Darkseid, and it's creating new threats in new areas of space that didn't exist before. That's what they're going to be dealing with, which sounds interesting, but I'll probably wait for a trade.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't jump out at me.
It doesn't
jump out at me. Though I do really like Sedgwick's art. That's a plus for it.
Did you say he did Aquaman?
Yes.
Is that Rebirth Aquaman? Or
Rebirth Aquaman. Okay. And Joshua Williams is the guy on Flash right now.
Okay, I have been liking... Flash is another thing. Like, that's a really weird art, because it's like it's the same art style across multiple artists.
That is weird.
Yeah, it like unless I'm just stupid and not remembering it correctly. I just remember always enjoying the Flash artwork, and it always kind of looks similar different across. Than other stuff, but it always kind of looks similar from Flashbook to Flashbook.
Yeah. Right.
Also, you were right. Whenever Power Ring dies in Forever Evil, his ring does go to Jessica Cruz.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what it was. Like, that's why, because you don't see that in Forever Evil. That comes to fruition in Justice League.
Okay.
Yeah, so he dies in that, but that's when it pops up.
Oh, yeah, because she talks about how she's not a real Green Lantern.
Yep.
And that's a huge part of
her. Because, like, okay. Batman had to depower her ring, and then Hal showed up. It got weird.
Yeah.
All right, let's move past this here. Teen Titans is getting a new roster, starting with number 20. We'll still have Damian, Wally, and Emiko as the Robin, Kid Flash, and Red Arrow. And then we've got introducing Crush, Jin as D-J-I-N-N, like as a genie.
Mm-hmm.
Jin and Roadhouse, the final two being new characters. Crush is Lobo's daughter. I didn't know he had a daughter. I don't know if that's been introduced somewhere else that I haven't seen.
I don't know.
But yeah, that's part of the Teen Titans now.
Lobo was in the first Injustice game.
He sure was.
As DLC.
And he was in Justice League of America?
Yeah.
That they just did?
Yeah, they've been doing Justice League of America with a bunch of villains, because it also had Killer Frost and another villain. I don't know. DC's liked partnering Batman up with villains lately.
Yeah.
Oh, he's marrying one. Speaking of, we've got five new one-shots coming.
I'm excited for one of them.
Each of them are part of the Prelude to the Wedding.
Why is your ear itching?
Because Batman is marrying Catwoman. Like, that's the thing that's happening in Tom King's run. It's been really, really fun to read. Super cool. Super cool stuff.
Do you feel like they're at kind of a holding pattern right now? Because, like, the double date stuff with the stuff with Superman kind of felt like, okay, that is a thing that would need to be addressed. But the last couple issues have been really good, but they haven't felt important.
I mean, none of them have felt really important.
Like, this arc, Poison Ivy has effectively taken over the planet. But it doesn't. Yeah. But it doesn't feel real. Like this is something that should not be tried to crammed into a three issue arc. It feels like this should be an event.
Yeah.
because it's trying to, it's presenting us with this grand scale, but it doesn't, it just, there's just something about it that doesn't feel
important. I agree. And yeah, it definitely feels like they're stalling for something. Maybe it was because it took Bendis longer to get to DC than it was supposed to because of the health issue.
That could be it.
Like, I would absolutely believe that because I know a lot of that fallout is supposed to lead into Justice League and Superman and, like, some other stuff.
This, it feels like, you know, whenever they go from big event to big event and there's that kind of, like, time filler, mm-hmm. little mini two-issue arc?
Yeah.
It feels like we've been on that holding pattern for, like, 3 months now.
Yeah. Enjoyable stuff.
Really? Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Like, this is the...
But either way, anyway. So here are the one-shots we're getting. Robin versus Ra's al Ghul. In this book, Ra's al Ghul returns to have a heart-to-heart with his grandson, Damian. Once upon a time, Ra's thought Bruce Wayne would be heir apparent to his criminal empire, but now that Batman has turned his back on Talia for good, Ra's wants to know if Damian Wayne will honor his mother by stepping into the family business at last.
I'm okay with this one because it is like there's that deep-seated history.
Mm-hmm.
They also just did this in Teen Titans. Like, that was the first Teen the first Titans arc.
Yeah.
Was Ra's wanting Damian back.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bummer. Because
Ra's created another team of, like, little evil Titans
mm-hmm.
and sent them after the Teen Titans.
Well, he already had them.
Oh, that's true.
He already had them. He just kind of formed them together for the purpose of
And apparently one of them is Damian's cousin.
Yes.
But Damian is still far superior to that one, so Ra's still wanted Damian. Anyway, we also have Nightwing versus Hush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on board with that. Hush is one of my favorite villains, like, to come out recently, and Nightwing's cool.
The little info for this, Dick Grayson has a lot of responsibility. Being the original partner of Batman, he's the natural choice to be Bruce Wayne's best man. So if anyone has to get to the wedding, it's going to be him. Too bad Hush has other plans, and maybe Bruce Wayne does too. Like, I don't know, Alfred.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm calling it now. Alfred is giving away Selina.
That's a distinct possibility. We also have Batgirl versus the Riddler. On the eve of Batman's wedding to Catwoman, two of Gotham City's finest minds clash. In her role as Oracle, Barbara Gordon wired all of her allies together. But then the Riddler takes on Batgirl. Will he tear everything asunder?
That sounds neat. I like the idea. I do like the idea of that because that kind of sounds like it's going to play into the detective side of...
Yep. Now we got the three that I want. All right, so here's the other two. Red Hood versus Anarchy. Red Hood has always been the one standing slightly apart from the rest of the Bat crew. Some see him as Robin gone bad, which is exactly the kind of thing someone like Anarchy can exploit. Now Red Hood is running security at Catwoman's bachelorette party, and if Anarchy can crash it, that could be the final straw for Jason Todd.
Anarchy is one of my least favorite parts of Detective Comics. He was just kind of, it didn't make a lot of sense. He was kind of lame. Also, don't mess with Red Hood. Like, it's just a bad idea.
It, right? Like, he kills people.
He doesn't, though. He doesn't. Is the thing. And, like, everyone's just like, oh, he kills people. Everyone knows he doesn't. Like, it's not a secret anymore.
Huh.
He just, because it's, that's why he's still allowed to operate.
Yeah, I guess Batman would have shut him down a while back if he was still killing folks.
And it,
because Under the Red Hood was great for that reason. Anyway.
Yep.
And then the last one. Harley Quinn versus the Joker.
Why?
Harley Quinn knows a thing or two about dysfunctional relationships. When she hears that her old flame is trying to get in the way of a happy new life for one of her best friends, the Maid of Mischief tracks the Joker down to give him a piece of her mind and maybe a few blows from her hammer, too.
No. The Joker is such an integral part to the Batman lore that he should not belong in a one-shot not featuring Batman. And also, like, I don't have a problem with Harley being in it, but, like... And if it's a relationship thing, yeah, Harley should just beat the crap out of the Joker. But especially when they've already announced that there's a huge Joker event centered on this wedding coming up.
This might be it. This might be what they were talking about.
I mean, I can't imagine with that cover art that we got featuring like the Justice League.
Yeah.
I don't see that being being a one shot.
I don't either. Yet here we are.
I don't. Please be good. Please be good.
Yeah, so, and other Harley Quinn news, the last little piece from the Marvel playbook, the Harley Quinn number 42 will be at the very least a one-shot, Old Lady Harley. We got some of the images. The hope is that this is parodying Marvel's, like, Old Man run, because they've been doing Old Man Logan for a while now, and they just recently started Old Man Hawkeye.
So who's going to be blind? Do you think it's going to be Poison Ivy?
I don't know. But some of the stills out of it look, they're very Mad Max, which is weird looking. I don't know what DC's doing right now. They are going like off the rails, and I guess I'm just gonna sit back and watch it happen.
I don't.
I'm still gonna.
It's been so
books.
Good. I'm enjoying so much of it, and I'm gonna get all of these one shots, and hopefully like them. A lot of them sound really cool, like the all of them except for the Harley and Joker thing. It's just like the worst Joker is when he got overused, when he was oversaturated. Scott Snyder understood that. And yes, he gave us two Joker runs, but they were both crazy impactful and
they were
crazy good.
Over a year apart, too.
Yeah, and they were separated over a great deal of time.
So, yeah. All right, and we don't have a whole lot of time, so we're going to speed through video games. This portion of our podcast brought to you by our good friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their wonderful content at ps2jshow.com. You can see all their social media links. And you can check out their History of Gaming episodes last Wednesday of each month. Those episodes are easily their best stuff, and it's great stuff.
That's going to be this week?
Should be.
We'll get the new one? Yeah.
Yep. Also, they have a new shirt out. So go check out their... It's them as Bert and Ernie.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I saw that, and I was like, oh, I need to buy that.
I dig that. All right. So, yeah, in video game news, starting off, God of War has gone gold.
Woo!
So we're not getting a delay on that. We will have God of War on time.
I'm so excited.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun. Really, really excited to play that game. We have Nintendo is holding a tournament for the Switch version of Super Smash Bros. It will be in June. They did something Smash 4.
It's going to be at E3. And the only reason that I put this on the list is because I think that if they don't announce it beforehand, this is when we hopefully will find out for sure if this is a remake or a full-on sequel.
Yeah, we will find out. We have to be able to find out for sure at this point.
So, and like I said, unless they have announced something different. Also, something we didn't mention, go out and if you have a Switch, go watch the Nintendo Nindy Direct that happened this past week.
Yeah.
There was some really cool stuff that came out of that.
I actually completely forgot to watch that video.
There's some neat stuff.
I'm a terrible person. All right. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered. We talked about it. We have a fairly reputable source claiming that it is, in fact, happening.
Eurogamer has...
they have some kind of source, Intel Mike or something like
Charlie
that.
Charlie Intel is the one that first broke this story, and then Eurogame later had either the same sources, but they're also saying corroborating that.
Modern Warfare 2 Remastered will just be the campaign.
Why? Even as someone, I never played the Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer, but I know that's one of the more, beloved
mm-hmm.
multiplayers, and I also am very much aware that the Call of Duty campaigns have always been...
Afterthoughts?
Okay.
Well, they weren't afterthoughts originally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first Call of Duty, the first Modern Warfare
campaign... single-player games.
...was great, and, mm-hmm. Call of Duty, back in the day, it always had multiplayer that was really fun, but the single-player was always good, too. And Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare had a phenomenal single-player campaign. Modern Warfare 2 had a pretty decent single-player campaign, but really we just wanted to get more, multiplayer in with some new maps and new mechanics.
And who bought Modern Warfare 2 for the single-player?
A lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, I worked at a video game store at the time, I know for sure. Because a whole bunch of people came in and talked about, I can't wait to see what happens to this character.
So maybe this won't be such a terrible idea, but I feel like in this, where we are now...
No, absolutely. Where we are now, this is definitely the minority of people, because you have to remember where I sold video games, there's a lot of places nearby, especially back then, that did not have high-speed internet.
Mm-hmm.
So they bought games to play single player.
Yeah, that's
and, like,
true.
I do remember, I don't know if you were still... No, you wouldn't have been at GameStop then, but Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
Whenever I was working at Hastings, and I would have people, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 was just multiplayer and zombies, mm-hmm. and there was no single player. I had people legitimately pissed off at me.
I do remember that happening.
Because because it even happened here. Like, we had people at Gaming Grounds returning the game because they didn't realize it was multiplayer only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do remember that.
So, yeah, it's a terrible idea. And one of the original devs from Infinity Ward, the first team that did Modern Warfare 2, said releasing this is like releasing a car without an engine. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You have it and it looks pretty, but you can't use it for anything. Because the campaign, in general, the campaign's not long. That's one of the big drawbacks to those Call of Duty, buying the Call of Duty game for the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You were getting 6 hours of gameplay.
Right.
Like, the online multiplayer is what really, like,
that's where you got your time for. Would, I mean, to be fair, if the price rumor is true where it is only $25, that's not as bad.
But, I mean, $25 for an, at this point, like, almost 10-year-old game? No, it's not been
It'll be remastered.
It will be, but
$15 is where I would put that price point at.
Which is like, which is understandable, player. But at least they're not doing, it's not like a $30 release. It's not a $60 release.
Yeah.
At least
it's not locked behind a $100 legendary edition for a game you wouldn't really want. Yeah.
So I really, really hope that Activision goes back on this and like or that this rumor is false.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like guys, take this with a grain of salt. Like it's credible, but it's not guaranteed.
Legitimate places have corroborated it, but that doesn't mean that they're not wrong sometimes.
Right. So we'll have to see where it goes. We're getting a Lego The Incredibles game later this year.
That one doesn't make sense to me. Because again, I'm not a huge, like, I still haven't seen The Incredibles. I get that a lot of people like it. I'm not saying anything about the quality of it. But like a lot of the appeal of the Lego games that I really enjoyed are going through and just playing as like, why the hell is this character in here? Don't care. They're fun to play as. Like the giant rosters. And unless I'm mistaken, I don't think that The Incredibles would have near that kind of depth of playable characters.
Maybe. Because you have like Frozone and the family.
Right. So unless I'm...
Unless they do like Back in the Past or there's new characters for the new Incredibles movie.
Yeah.
But like it's still... Because like I think out of all of us three, I'm probably the biggest...
You are the biggest Lego fan.
Lego video game family. Or like that set of games. And I mean, I love the Incredibles and I love the Lego games. And I will really, really look into this game before buying it. Not like Marvel 2 where I just bought it blindly. I regretted that. But like... I will look into it, and if it looks like it's good and it like makes sense why they have that many characters, I'd be cool with it. Because this one is like, hell, they may be doing Pixar like guest starring in it. Like, yeah. Oh, you can also play as these characters. Because I could see that being a gigantic appeal.
And that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
I doubt they're going to do that because I think they would market it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But
Lego Pixar instead of Lego Incredibles.
Yeah.
Oh, then, I want that game. Sorry, Jesse.
No, you're good. I just got to move past it. We don't have much time left. See Paragon Assets, like Epic's Paragon, it's being shut down. They are releasing all of the character models, character rigging, all of that stuff is free in the Unreal Engine store. So yeah, they labeled it at $12 million worth of assets, but that's a weird label to throw on something like that.
That's an in-house like factoring in like labor and man hours and stuff like that.
And then
all
of a sudden, like if they were to sell off that property, they could get upwards of that amount. But either way, all of that is free and available. So if you fancy yourself like a an animator with 3D stuff, all of that stuff is available for you to mess with. Like it's out there,
which is cool. They didn't have to do that.
Nope, they definitely did not. And it is really, really neat. We have now introducing the Fair Play Alliance. Coming from companies like Blizzard, Riot Games, Twitch, and about 30 other developers.
Those are the three big ones, which are super cool.
And they're working together to limit toxicity in the gaming community in general, in the online gaming community in general, because it has been rampant. It is always these days in multiplayer games. League of Legends, I know I've talked about it numerous times before. I quit because of how toxic that game was. Overwatch has some pretty toxic stuff too, but it's less so than League of Legends, at least I think it is.
And I like to see this as this is trending, just because like we talked about a couple weeks ago, Ubisoft, racist and homophobic language is now a bannable offense in Rainbow Six Siege. Like, so that's awesome.
And I really, really like this. And basically, they're going to be working together, pooling their resources and the lessons they have learned over the period of, long period of time for League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Blizzard's been at the online game longer. So they know a thing or two about how to deal with some of these communities, and they've learned a thing or two. They've made mistakes and, they've fixed them and made other moves that have worked out for the better. So I guess the idea behind this is so that developers can, make an online game and they don't fall into the pit that Overwatch fell into, where the game had stagnated for a while. We didn't get any new content because they had to devote so much time and effort into fixing the community.
Right.
Because they didn't want to lose people before they could put more stuff in the game.
Yep.
And they've done a wonderful job. Like, Overwatch, it's been a pretty clean community Like, you still get the occasional toxic person, but it's not bad, like, as bad as other communities.
I didn't watch the video, but they just did another developer update about, like, avoid as teammate thing.
That's their newest thing for the toxic people.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you could block someone, and you wouldn't be able to see them or hear them. But as, like, me and Garrett, like, back in the early days of Overwatch found out, doesn't mean you won't play with them again.
Mm-hmm.
In the very next, we did that to a guy that was just super toxic and a terrible player. And he ended up on our team again in the next game after we both blocked him and reported him.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense. So, yeah, now you can avoid as a teammate. So you can have up to two people at a time, and it goes for 7 days at a time. So after 7 days, they're no longer avoided.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, that ensures that for 7 days, this individual will not be on your team again. They might be on the enemy team, but they won't be on your team.
Which is a step.
Yes. No, that's a phenomenal thing. And they also, if you have been avoided after so many times, you will get an alert from Blizzard letting you know, hey, people don't want to play with you. You need to figure out why and fix it.
Because mm-hmm.
The next step, obviously, is, you know, banning and stuff like that. Also, it makes it harder for you to find a match. If everybody you're playing with is avoiding you,
you're not going to be able to team up with random lobbies.
So you're going to be waiting upwards of 5 minutes for matchmaking.
Good.
Yeah, good. So hopefully that'll help quite a bit with people, you know, learning to not be awful to one another.
Just be cool.
Yep, just be cool. All right, Vivendi has lost their lawsuit against Ubisoft, so there's not going to be any hostile takeover.
Yeah, Vivendi has. They have to. They're forfeiting or having to sell off their Ubisoft shares. Yes. So.
All right, and then just real quick, Asa, rapid fire that Star Wars progression update because you've actually tried it.
So the progression update hit, and it is kind of what I was afraid it was going to be. Where I logged in, I'm level 11 on my assault.
Mm.
I'm level 8 on special or officer, and I'm like level 3 on specialist and heavy. The problem is, in that time that I played, I've leveled up Assault, but I had no green star cards. I only had the grays. But as you level up, the XP required to level up to get more unlocks goes up. So I'm having to play even longer with worse equipment to get marginally better equipment. And I'm still getting matched up with people with all purples.
Mm. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's better, and I get why they couldn't, like, just wipe everything and start from scratch again.
Because for every person like you, there's two people like Shannon
mm-hmm.
that have, like, you know, they're decked out. They put a lot of time into getting a bunch of stuff.
Right.
He had a bunch of credits, everything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I could see, like, it'll eventually equalize.
I'm going to have to play a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't see myself playing that much. Because, like, Shannon plays while he's here. Like, yeah. And Hunter comes in and plays on his account and, like, gets stuff for him. So, I mean, if we started playing on the weekends again,
like,
it might happen. But, yeah, it's kind of a bummer to see that, like, okay, so now I have my green grenade, but when I'm killed, I'm still getting, like, the matchmaking has not been fixed. It's not based on what cards you have. It's seemingly just everybody's in a pool with everybody else. And granted, I've only played Blast. I've only played a handful of matches, but there have been multiple times that, because it shows you who killed you and mm-hmm. what gear they have.
Right.
And when you see purples across, which is, you know, level 4 across the board, it's kind of a bummer.
Right, right. So yeah, hopefully, you know, that'll kind of balance out. We'll see where it lands.
I haven't tried
it since the update. I've had a lot of other games lately that I've been playing.
Oh yeah, no, they already said that you're not going to be able to buy star cards with credits anymore, so never mind.
Yep. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for our show. Thanks for listening. We might see you next week again. If not, like, you know, hopefully it's because we've had fun in Indianapolis and not that there's some horrible accident happened to us.
What is wrong with you?
Why would you say that?
Because I'm a terrible person. Bye, everybody.